All right. Welcome back, Seattle, and everyone listening around the country to another episode of The Money Seat. My voice raised because I was like, country, nation? No, just country at best. So, yeah. So, anyways, this is The Money Seat with your host, Ross Kraus, certified financial planner here to help solve the world's financial literacy problem one episode at a time. Once again, I'm your host, Ross Kraus of The Money Seat, where you call in, you email in, you text in your questions related to money, finance, the economy, the market, and put me on the hot seat and we get them answered. So, like I have said before, if you've missed some of our previous episodes, go to 1150kknw.com and go to The Money Seat, and you can listen to any of our episodes. And if you want to listen to some of the standalone podcasts I've done as well, you can go to my website, rosskraus.com, rosskraus.com. That's rosskraus.com. And find The Money Seat. Listen and stream any of the episodes in your car on the way to work, to get away from a nagging spouse, whatever you want to do. If you can't sleep at night and want to go to sleep and my voice soothes you, that might work too. Whatever floats your boat. And you could submit a question there as well. You could become a sponsor, or you could just kind of be like, hey, maybe it's finally time. It's the new year. I listened to your New Year's resolutions one. I would urge you to do that. If you're thinking about that and you haven't heard that episode, listening to my episode last week about New Year's resolutions would be a great place to start, and then go from there. And so rosskraus.com, you could find me. Today, I have some text questions here. Which I'm going to address. I know we've talked a lot about getting the new year started, and we did that a little bit last year and kind of summing things up. And eventually in a few months, we're going to get to taxes. The IRS just came out, I believe it was the IRS today, said you could start filing your taxes as early as January 24th, which is 2 weeks from today, maybe 2 weeks from yesterday, something like that. It's in 2 weeks, which means you could start. They always urge you to do earlier rather than later. If you're going to file an extension, that's different. But if you're going to file your taxes, I do recommend doing it earlier for a number of reasons. One is if you're going to get money back, you want money sooner than later, obviously. Two, if you're not sure, you probably need to know what that is so you could plan on it. And three, a lot of times there are people, and I've gotten this call before on April 12th, who said, hey, Ross, I just did my taxes and it said I can make a contribution to my IRA. Can I do that with you? And it's like, well, yeah, we have 3 days to open an account and transfer all the money in. So I hope you don't have a lot to do right now because we got to do this now. So don't let that go to the last minute. A lot of times, the advice you'll be getting from your CPA or TurboTax, whatever you use, is going to tell you to contribute money to a retirement account or maximize your 401k, and don't wait till the last day because it'll be too late. So that's my advice. But like I said, those will come out in a few weeks. You could file. The reason why is that you won't start getting your W-2s, your 1099s, all that stuff for another few weeks. I know my firm usually sends stuff out the end of January and beginning of February. So we'll probably do something in February or March about taxes. Obviously a very important subject. So I want to touch something that I think I've touched a little bit at the beginning, and people have had a few questions, but we haven't gone too deep into it. And it's kind of a good time to discuss it as well. So there's a few questions from anonymous interior designer. And her question is, the first one is, the biggest investment you can make typically is your home. How much do you invest in it versus stocks or other investments? So I'm glad you said that question, because that actually is now a common misconception, that the biggest investment you can make typically is your home. So if you mean by what you're going to put the most money into, it's probably your home. It might not be. But in terms of what your biggest asset is, what's going to have the biggest value, it should not be your home. If it's your home, then unfortunately you've done investments in retirement planning wrong, because one, it's illiquid, and two, it's just not going to be enough. So generally now, when you ask someone what your biggest asset is or what your biggest investment is, most people do say it's going to be my house. And that's not true. Right now, it's going to be, on average, people's biggest asset when they retire is going to be their 401k. And because of that, it's very important for you. So then to follow up with your question was, how much do you invest in it versus stocks or other investments? So that's a little complicated, right? The reason why I say this is because these are averages. So I'll get into the specifics in a little bit. But generally, this is the general numbers. The S&P 500 earns each year about 8 to 10% return. Over the last 20 years, over a 20-year time frame, the S&P 500 is, like I said, about 8 to 10% every year in returns. Real estate, on average, grows about 2 to 3. Those are just the facts of general real estate versus general S&P 500 investment. If you take in a fees and stuff, let's say the average investor should net about 5 to 6%, okay, depending on what they're investing. Real estate is about 2 if you take away, right, costs and buys and fees and all that stuff. That's just how it is generally, all right? So for most people, if you're just put money in your house and let it go, or put money in the market and let it go, the market is going to triple what your house is. And that's huge. Right now, I'd urge you, actually, go to my website, rosskraus.com. I have great investment and financial calculators you can go to. Click on that, and you could do a investment return. And let's say you're going to invest $100,000 over 20 years. You could see what that would be at a 2% return for real estate, which will probably be about double. It'll double to 200 versus the market at 6%. It should be about 800 as opposed to 2. So that's a $600,000 difference in 20 years. So that's very important for everyone to know. Now, that's way oversimplifying everything, right? You could oversimplify investments saying you put it away, you trust a professional, you're doing it yourself, and just letting it go, and that 68% should be pretty automatic. Real estate's a little more complicated, right? Because there are people who are professionals, and they buy, and they sell, and they flip, and they're a little bit more active, and they rent stuff out, and there's rates of return for that. Obviously, makes things a little bit more complicated. But generally, even with all that, the market earns and returns more than real estate. Real estate has some great advantages, but if you're just looking at return rates, unfortunately, the market does outperform it generally. So how much do you invest in it versus stocks or other investments? Well, once again, there's more to it than that's the finances, right? You know, I'm not going to say don't invest in your house if there are issues with it that you need fixed, because they have to get fixed. But from a financial point of view, you should not be investing more than you need to in your house. You should put down the 20% you need as a down payment for it to, right, for you to not have an additional, there's some like additional tax or something that costs if you don't put a certain amount of down payment down. And after that, you're better off putting your money in your stocks and your investments and letting them grow. That's kind of just a fact on that. So personally, I think as much as you can, you should be putting into your stocks or investments. There are parts of your house that do appreciate, but there's also a lot of dead money. It's not like a car where that money is never coming back. It's sunk cost. It's gone forever. But there are parts, I know that if you redo your basement, that's not upping your resale value as a fact. If you redo your bathrooms in a bathroom, right, that is a big thing. So some of it depends on what you're doing. But from a strictly financial point of view, if you said, Ross, I have $100,000 and I want it to grow as much as possible, the best advice would be to put it in the S&P 500, let it grow for 20 years and don't touch it. So that's the answer to that question. Your next question was, especially with the market the way it is, should you upgrade, remodel, etc.? Is that a sound investment? So like I said before, in terms of an investment, not really. No. I mean, if you have a house that's worth $500,000 and you have to get it professionally done, right? So you have to really know stuff about this. You have $500,000, you put in $100,000, and instead of selling it for $600,000, you sell it for $650,000 and you gain $50,000 back. That's great. But for most people, once again, this is like if you're a professional and you're buying and designing and upgrading specific stuff just to make money, then I guess that's okay. You got to really know what you're doing. For the most people who don't really know these things and just watch a few episodes on HGTV and think that they're going to put some money in and it's going to come back, that's not a good use of your money and it's not a great investment, to be honest. So upgrading or remodeling isn't really something that most people should be doing as an investment. It should be doing something as a necessity because you want that wine bar in your basement. You want that whiskey cellar. You want that movie theater, right? Because it's going to get you some personal enjoyment, right? Or, oh man, we got to update the roof. We got to do this because it's necessary for us to live or it's because things we want. That's fantastic. And that's your mindset for most people who should do it. If you're talking about from a strictly professional point of view, I would really strongly discourage the average person to looking at remodeling and upgrading their house as an investment because it's not a great one like we just discussed. For example, you know, 40, 50 years ago, a $250,000 house is probably worth $1 million today, and that's four times the investment, and that seems awesome. But if you bought your house, if you instead of putting $250,000 in a house 40 years ago and you put it in the market, it'd be worth two or three times that. Once again, you could do the calculator and do all that, but that's kind of just how it is from a numbers point of view. So please keep that in mind when you're doing this from real estate. I'm a huge proponent that real estate has a good 5 to 10% value in someone's portfolio, but that it's not that efficient in terms of its rate of return, and also it has liquidity problems. Right. So if you think you're going to be buying and flipping this in a few months and all of a sudden 2 years go by because COVID happens, no one wants to buy condos anymore, the market tanks, and all of a sudden you're sunk the money and you can't get it back. You can't just flip a switch and sell that for what you want. Right. Unlike your Apple stock, which is going to be worth exactly this price. There's going to be anyone out there in the world who's going to buy it instantly with the click of the button, and you can get your money right then. Based on this price, right? There's no haggling. There's no issues. There's no worry about how long it's going to take. So tying your money up in real estate can be an issue as you get older when liquidity is more important or if you're retired, right? So if you're retired and you have to have money coming in, you don't want to have all your money tied in real estate because it's just too uncertain. So generally also in very large some of it depends a little bit on where you live as well. Remember, buying real estate comes with extra costs, right? There's property taxes, there's insurance, and that could be very large depending on it, as opposed to investments, which actually, if you invested something in like an S&P 500 and did it themselves, would have a very small fee, maybe 0.1 to 1% a year. As opposed to property taxes, which could be 1 to 2, plus homeowners insurance and everything else that goes along with this. So the expenses can drag that down actually higher than the investment expenses can. So I want people to keep that in mind as well. Also, you don't have to watch your Apple stock, right? You don't have to maintain it, as opposed to a house, which requires work and love. So I want people to realize that there's work and love and skills and stuff that go into these things, and don't take those lightly as well. So then the follow-up question is, should you take money out of the stock market to invest invest in your home, and is there a certain percentage? So I've had some clients who do this, but they've all done this in their investment account, which is not in their retirement account. So no, you should never take money out of your 401k or your IRA and put it into your home unless you have no other option or unless you have to have this home so badly that you're okay willing to take the hit. But there's very large tax consequences for doing this. It could be 10, 15, 20%, 30%, 40% if you include penalties on all this, which makes it a terrible investment. Now, if there's other things going on in life that you don't care about that, then that's fine. But from an investment point of view, you should never take money out of your 401k or your IRA to pay or remodel a home. You should be using the bank. The bank should give you a mortgage. If they're only going to give you a certain amount, then that's your budget for your house, okay? If you need a remodel, there are remodeling loans, right? You could talk to a mortgage broker, and they could get you a loan to remodel your house. Right now, with our low interest rates, most of the time, when in the environment we're in, your investments are going to earn 6 to 8% on average a year, and your interest rate on your mortgage is going to be 2 to 4. So obviously, it's better to keep the money invested than it is to take it out and borrow. But I do have some clients who take it from their non-retirement account. And a lot of times people set up an account instead of keeping it in the bank. They put money in investments for the sole purpose of buying a house. And that's what I've done with them. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it becomes, people think, oh, I'm building up wealth. It's growing. And now I'm going to take it out and I'm going to put it towards my house. And the wealth's not really disappearing. It's just being transferred. And you're right. It is. But now it's being transferred to something that's much more inefficient. You could be lucky, you could really have something specific designed and your real estate values could skyrocket, I guess, but you know, you could also be missing out on the next Amazon stock as well. So those work both ways. Generally, that real estate investment won't earn as much. So there's nothing wrong with taking money out of the stock market to invest in your home, especially if you want it, but I would keep it minimally. I would consult a financial professional first, because you need to know how this is going to affect your overall retirement picture, your overall financial planning, and what ripple effects it does. A lot of people don't realize the butterfly effect of taking out some money here will have on 20 years from now. But it's huge, and you need to know what those are before you make those decisions. And like I said, highly advise against doing it for 401k or your IRA or your Roth, unless, once again, it's some type of desperate situation. Or you're some type of professional who just knows for a fact that you're going to make, you know, 100% of your money and it'll all go back and you want to take those risks. That's up to me. That's up to you. But otherwise, if that's not you, I wouldn't advise doing it, as well. If you run out of time, the last question is, if you run out of time, how much you should put in as a down payment, more to pay off or less to have funds for upgrades? So once again, kind of what I said, put in the 20%. That's the target number. Don't need to keep money on hand for upgrades. There's always new loans you could take out or new mortgage or renovation loans, which will be at a much lower interest rate than you'd be losing out in the market with that money. If you want to have stuff for upgrades, what happens is, yeah, I'm going to keep another $50,000 in hand for upgrades, and then 10 years go by. You never needed it, and all of a sudden your $50,000 is still $50,000 in the bank, as opposed to if it was in the market where it could be $100,000 to $125,000 to $150,000. That's too much that you're missing out on. That's too much opportunity. You don't want to have that sitting around. It's wasted money. I've discussed you want to have a certain amount in an emergency cash and savings, which we discussed last week and many times before. After that, your money sitting around waiting for an upgrade is not a very good use of your money. You want your money to work as hard for you as you did to earn that money. So what's sitting around for who knows how long is not working hard for you. So like I said, I have clients who put that money to good use for 3-5 years. And then if the time comes, they use it. And if not, they're happy that it grew some money as well. So that's kind of the specific answer to those questions. It doesn't mean I'm anti-real estate. It doesn't mean I don't think people should take some money and buy stuff or upgrade things. But I don't think it should be viewed as an investment. I should just be viewed as home improvement, right? If your mindset is, hey, I'm going to take this money and I'm going to improve my home because I want to and it's going to make me happier, there's nothing wrong with that. That's why you have money, right? So you make yourself happy. That's the point of it, to spend it. But if you're going to say, hey, I'm going to take this money and invest it in my house and it's going to be worth more, I would argue that's probably not the best use of that investment. It's a little bit different for business owners than it is for individuals. So a lot of times, and this was true for McDonald's, a lot of their value was in their real estate, was in their business. I've worked with a few restaurant owners, one who owned their business, who owned the land and the building, and one that doesn't. And it's night and day how much happier and how much easier it is to run your business and their valuation for the one that does own it versus the one that doesn't. So this conversation is actually much different. If you need a physical space, you know, a restaurant or something like that, let's use a restaurant as an example. There's a lot of places I know who started restaurants, they bought the property and they sold, and later on when they went to retire, all their money they made back wasn't necessarily because of the value of their business. It was because of the value of the property they sold. And they're also not handcuffed by raising rents and having to move around. So from another point of view, I would say if you're a business owner, it's definitely a good investment to buy and upgrade and improve your building, your real estate, because that has a direct effect on your business that you're operating, the revenue, all that stuff. So they're very different conversations. From a personal point of view, it's personal. This is your home. Your home is not an investment, okay? It's where you live. Yes, it's going to make money, and it's a secondary part, and it should grow 2 to 3% over time, but you should never view your primary residence as an investment, okay? If you are, you're doing it wrong. If you have second or third or vacation or other stuff, that's fine to view those as vacation investment properties and stuff like that. But your primary home should never be used and viewed as an investment, okay? It's going to get you in trouble. It is your home. It's where you live. It's your residence. That's what it is first, okay? So I think it's very clear because people get in trouble. They get underwater. Bad things happen. They make bad decisions. They put too much money in there, and they don't spend enough on their 401k and their IRA. And they realize, okay, great, it's time to retire. Awesome, my home is worth, you know, $500,000. Awesome. And then it's like, well, that's not even close to enough. You live in New York City. You live in Seattle. You think you're going to retire with $500,000. You would have $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million if you had put that money in 401k or retirement as well. So me, I just kind of caution people on that. Is there another question here? Let's see here. Is it worth it if you're only saving $6,000 a year? Questions on refinancing. So refinancing is a little bit different. I've refinanced myself. So it's not necessarily about the money, but yes, if you're going to save $6,000 a year, it's worth it. If you're going to save $1,000 a year, that's net, not gross, right? If you're going to gross $1,000, but it's going to cost you $6, then no. But if after all the expenses and all the refinancing and stuff, you're going to net out any money every year, then yes, you should definitely do it. For me, I decided to buy a place at the worst time because that's my luck with real estate, and I got a 4.75% interest rate, and I was able to refinance down to 3.25%. So that was a no-brainer. Anytime you could save over 1%, and obviously if your place is worth $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, then the smaller the percent, the more you're going to save. But generally, you could run these numbers very quickly. Use the internet, use whatever you need to do, and figure out if refinancing is going to work. If you're going to go from saving, you know, a 3% interest to a 2.5%, that might not be worth it unless you have a very large mortgage. But it's still worth looking at. I'm a huge fan of refinancing. I'm also a huge fan of, if you're going to buy a place and the interest rate's high, don't worry about it because you can refinance later. So people kind of get into the, well, I don't want to buy now, their interest rates are higher, they just went up. Well, that's fine. You know, take the higher interest rate. You have a place, you want it to live, right? Remember, it's not an investment. If this is where you want to live, you live there, okay? You buy it, you take the higher interest rate, whatever. And then it'll go up, it'll go down, and you'll find the time to refinance in a few years, okay, and save that money. A lot of times, if this is the place you want to live forever, we're looking at 15, 30-year mortgages, right? So waiting 1 or 2 years has a very small effect on this. If you could save $6,000 a year to refinance and you invest that money over 20 years, let's see here, $6,000 a year, $60,000, it's going to triple. Yeah, that could be worth $250,000 or 20 years. So, yeah, is that worth it? Absolutely, that's worth it. That's a world of difference. I think people need to realize just how powerful compounding interest is over 20, 30 years and how big of a difference 1 to 2 to 3 to 4%, each percent matters so much over that time frame because of compounding interest snowball effect as well. And someone said, is this all true regardless of age and stage? It's definitely true if you're older because you can't take as many risks with your money. You need more liquidity. If you're younger, yeah, you could take some of the risks with real estate, hope you make a big return. And if it doesn't work out, you're young and you can maybe earn some of it back or make these mistakes up later. I would still keep the principle the same if you're younger, but the consequences are less if you're younger than if you're older. It's very little you can do if you're in your 60s and you mess up or all your money is in real estate and you don't have anything in your 401k to just start, unfortunately. Yes, it's mostly true, but it is more imperative as you get older. But great questions. Hope everyone had a very good show. Thanks for being here on the Money Seat with me, your host, Ross Krause. Once again, go to rosskrause.com and submit a question, view previous episodes, and listen to other podcasts as well. And hopefully you learned a little bit about something. Like I said, if you're not sure, if you need to know how this works, part of your financial advisor, part of a professional should help integrate real estate into your portfolio, even if whether they're managing money or not for you, right? If they're your financial advisor and real estate is a part of your financial portfolio, they should help you fill this out. So seek a professional if you're not sure, even if you're a professional in the real estate business. Once again, thanks, and see everyone next week for another episode of The Money Seat.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professionals prior to making a decision. All performance referenced is historical and is no guarantee of future results. All indices are unmanaged and may not be invested into directly. Economic forecasts set forth may not develop as predicted, and there can be no guarantee that strategies promoted will be successful.